Come on, man. Hurry up.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
You got the money?
Ho, ho, ho. Of course. Do you have the new batch?
It's in the basement. Just follow me. Look, Santa. You and Miss Claus have to tone down on the sex magic. There's not enough dog dicks to go around these days. You gotta remember, don't get high off your own supply. There's a dog dick shortage.
Damn! LGBT XYZLM fayos!
Here you go. Fresh batch of homunculi.
You mean elves?
Yeah. Yeah. Elves.
Welcome back to another motherfucking episode of Kill the Mockingbirds with your host, Sean Chris. Don't forget, you can go stop by killthemockingbirds.com. No merch up back yet. Working on the new vendor that we're getting, but go check out that disinformation section so you can have good arguments around the Christmas tree today. You know, this is a very special Christmas episode. You know, we got a guy that can do podcasts. He can do little books. He can do papers, thesis, comics, podcasts, anything that you want. But he's also mainly known for the Monkologist himself, One Eye Ollie. What's up, man?
What's up, bro? Thank you for having me, man. It's good to be back.
And I got your name right.
Yeah, Areolas. I like Areolas, though. It's good.
He's looking. He like that. If you don't know who Juan is, then I don't know what rock you've been under, but can you let everybody know like where they can find you and where they can follow you and get all your merch and your comic book? And don't forget, of course, the podcast.
Yeah, you can find me anywhere you can find podcasts at the Juan on Juan podcast on pretty much any social media platform. I'm on YouTube, Rockfin, Twitter, all that good stuff. And my website is tjojp.com. I got a Patreon for those that want more, patreon.com/the Juan on Juan podcast. And that's pretty much it.
Well, then I guess we should just get into it.
Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God.
Looking a little fuzzy on my end, bro, but I can still hear you good.
Yeah, it's that good old internet that I got to upgrade. You know, the internet be, I got to get that Joe Rogan internet where you could have a guy in Russia and he could Skype and it's perfectly clear.
Dude, that's how, man, who knows if they probably had him in the back room or something. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Who knows how that, did they do that live? Was that live?
Yeah, he could be in the back room. I can't remember. I didn't watch it live, so I don't know.
Well,
I watched it much later. So
yeah, I remember seeing that.
We'll just say it wasn't. I would hard to believe. But what's up with you, man? I mean, I came to, because come on, man, if we're going to talk a cult, if we're going to talk a cult and Christmas, who else to bring on, man? And we're talking about elves, man. What else is an elf than a homunculus?
Bro, that, you know what I was thinking today before we jumped on? Like today during the day, I was like, yo, where'd the Grinch come from? So an elf, let's check to see if an elf, the elf creature. I think I've already looked this up. So creature, let's look this up to see where they come from. It's a supernatural being. And they come from, let's see here, associated with craftsmanship. I think they're more elementals, so not really. Technically, they're not considered homunculus if they're elemental. That's a whole different aspect, right? So, yeah, usually invisibly living alongside everyday human communities. So, yeah, they're more of like the elemental dwarf type of thing. But, hey, I mean, anything is possible. And I was thinking today, is the Grinch a homunculus? So, Grinch origins. Let's see what the Grinch is. Dr. Seuss. Let's see here. He's definitely a homunculus of Dr. Seuss. And Dr. Seuss was a weird guy because he had, if you look at all his art, dude, like, as a kid, we grew up with this sort of stuff and we never paid attention to it. And it seems like very psychedelic, very trippy. And after he died, he had like this night series that came out that's super dark. So the Grinch, let's see here, where he come from? How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Let's see, the Grinch. Huh. History. So, about Peter T., a boy who collects eggs from a number of exotic birds to make scrambled eggs. One of these exotic birds is the beagle-beaked, bald-headed Grinch, who shares the later Grinch's cantankerous attitude. So, the first use of the word Grinch was in 1953, in a book called Scrambled Egg Super. And it was actually withdrawn from circulation by the Seuss Estate in 2021. Hmm. And then later on in 1955, they used the name Grinch again, et cetera, et cetera. The Grinch's best known incarnation made a debut in 1957, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Still not seeing the origins, bro, of what the heck this thing is. Because it's kind of occultic, right? There's like this entity living in the mountains, really angry at everybody for having this spirit of Christmas. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, look at this right away. I just put in origins of the Grinch. It says, the Grinch first appeared in a 33-line illustrated poem by Dr. Seuss.
Of course it would be 33 lines. But, yeah, I'm not seeing where he came, like how he was birthed. So it says the book, he was, and if you really think about it, bro, any entity that is birthed from the imagination of man is essentially a sort of homunculus. Like, for example, Mickey Mouse is Walt Disney's homunculus. And then these things, they become collective egregores and they start to sort of exist. Plus you have the whole LARPing aspect of it, the whole magical aspect where people dress up as this entity and they act out a whole thing. They're making movies, they're making videos, they're making all this stuff. That's all sigils, and this is what's important about all these sort of things that we grew up with, and it plays into the whole Christmas thing, because a lot of these holidays, or really anything, has what maybe perhaps the what we're never going to find out is what the original intention was of the people who created it. And the issue with that is that there's something called occulted scaffolding, which is essentially the occulted structure behind even an idea, or think of it like the script of a movie that you never see. It's that unseen print, right? The occulted scaffolding within any works where the true intention is seated in. So we never know what that is, and that's why it's dangerous to participate in certain things that, and everyone just does it. Why? Because of tradition. It just gets passed on. Everyone does it, and here we are. Well, some of the origins for Christmas could have been Saturnalia, where it could have been this sort of Saturn-worshipping weird ritual that they used to do back then, where they would elect the pseudo-king, and then at the end of it, they would, everyone, it was like the Purge. Everyone would do whatever they want. The slaves would be free for a day or for a week or for however long. And then at the end of this ritual, they would sacrifice this pseudo king in a sort of King Kill 33 type ritual. Then they use that energy and they transmute it to something else. So, and there's also the Sol Invictus celebrations that they used to do as well. That's related to Mithras. And again, the you can see where it started off with paganism, and Christmas is an interesting one because there's a lot of lore regarding this Saint Nicholas, which was a real person, right? You have this real guy who is allegedly the reason that his colors are red and white is because of Coca-Cola. Again, another sort of egregoric collective thought form company. All these companies that are huge, they take on these personas. And let's not forget the definition, the actual etymology of the word corporation, right? You have corp, which is body, corpse. And the actual definition of a corporation is an artificially created person by a group of people. And that's what a corporation is. And there are a lot of hidden things even within our language. That's why the etymology of grammar is grimoire, because grimoires were grammatically laid out, you know, structures of how to do magic. You know, grammar, they were using grammar to piece together these magical rituals in some sort of way. And I've made so many connections when it comes to you have Saint Nicholas, you have the Rupus Nigra, which is a black rock in the North Pole that is 33 miles wide, this magnetic rock. We know that Santa Claus comes from the North Pole. And I don't know, you need to watch this newest movie, bro. The Leave the World Behind, where they use, check this out, dude. Everyone's freaking out about this. I don't know how to share my screen. Let me share my screen.
I think maybe right here.
There we go.
It says share, but I don't know if that share
is my
screen.
Can you see that?
Oh, you got it. Oh, look at you. It hasn't loaded yet, but I see. Oh, yep, I see it.
So we have this movie, and check out the subliminal programming. Everyone's freaking out about this. Obey NASA. Now we know space is fake and gay. You can't go to the North Pole because, right, you can't go there. You can't go to the South Pole because it's protected, all this other stuff. And it's like, what are they trying to occult from everyone, right? There's arguably something that they're saying that they're trying to hide. But then we have this Saint Nicholas guy who supposedly lives there, right? This whole lore of when you tell a kid, hey, you know, if Santa's in the North Pole with his little homunculi that are helping him. And honestly, if you really think of like the elves, they kind of fit that lore of the homunculus. And in my opinion, bro, in my opinion, I think Saint Nicholas was some sort of alchemist. Was some sort of alchemical person. Good.
And they also, like a lot of people, you know, believe that it has to do with mushrooms. I know you've heard of that. Just same thing like with the burning bush and with Moses, that maybe possibly psychedelics could have been involved, which is could be, but it doesn't mean that they still weren't practicing these rituals. And I think that people have to remember that the rituals you're talking about, they're rebranded, right? Like it each time society changes, we have to rebrand it so people can digest it. And that's how we get sucked into, oh no, man, this has always been my grandpa's 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 grandpa. We celebrated like this. Now you can only go back usually four generations, maybe five, of where, like, you know, word of mouth. There is farther, but I'm saying usually society cuts it off. You know what I mean? You have like tribes and stuff that have been forever. But for the most part in modern society, it's like four or five generations and it cuts off. So if it started the rebranding of like, oh, you know, he's this jolly guy that just gives presents to people and he loves the kids, which is kind of weird in another sense. If we look at like everything that always goes on about like we're hearing about all the human trafficking. I mean, you could also, if you don't consider elves homunculus, they could all be considered kids, right? They could be considered trafficked children that he's been snatching. Instead of giving them presents, he was snatching them up. I mean, I think that we get lost, like you said, like in the lure of stuff, and we just believe everything that we hear.
Yeah, no, and that's the darker aspect, because a lot of these stories that Disney took, and right, we have Cinderella, we have all these different stories, a lot of them had darker connotations from these Germanic, right, folkloric type of thing, a lot of elementals and all these different concepts. And I've heard of Santa Claus being the Amanita Muscaria. The idea of, right, so the colors red and white correspond with the Amanita muscaria. And the Amanita muscaria is a psychedelic sort of mushroom. And the lore goes that, you know, the tradition of hanging up your stocking that's red and white on the mantle is how they would set out these mushrooms to dry, sort of thing. You have the lure that he would feed it to the caribou or the reindeer or whatever, and then they would trip out, and then they would pee, and when they would pee, that they would take that and they would either drink it. There's like shamanic traditions or something or other. So essentially that Santa Claus was this sort of psychedelic egregore, I guess. I'm not 100% sure, but then you have the other interpretations, right? So the North Pole is a really interesting one, because they say that, right, Satan, the devil, comes from the North. You have the whole lore of like Game of Thrones, right? They're coming from the North, right? The North, right? Winter is coming, all this sort of lore where it's been painted. Yeah, the wall. They had this whole thing. And then, you know, Santa Claus, Santa Claus type of thing. So you have this, and this gets into the realm of like polar worship, which that's Mario from Symbolic Studies. He really goes in on that. And the whole idea of, even in the Book of Enoch, chapter 3, verse 33, they talk about going to the north, right? And ascending from the north. So that whole sort of thing. You have the Draco constellation near the north as well. And you have, right, what a lot of different occultic groups, the swastika, which is a very ancient symbol, which is indicative essentially of this North Pole, the Ursa Major, which is, right, the polar bear sort of thing, where you have the bear. And there's a lot pointing towards the North Pole. A lot of people say, I've never seen the Aurora Borealis, I think it's what it's called, but a lot of people say that it smells like sulfur in those areas. Now, some people say it's because of the geothermic activity in the area, but I've seen a lot of different UFO and alien encounters, which some people attribute to demons, and that sulfur smell, right, with sulfur being attributed to hell. So they said the North Pole smells like sulfur. So like, what's going on? Like, is there a hole or something, like Admiral Byrd was talking about, at the North Pole that they don't want us to see? And so the reason I think that this Saint Nicholas of Myra guy was a sort of this alchemical adept is because he was around that time where alchemy, so the third century, alchemy really sprouted from the first to third century. And what was going on during that time was you hear stories about people taking pilgrimages to different areas. They say that's where Jesus was in his missing years. He traveled around and learned all the secret mysteries from all the secret mystery schools. And the Saint Nicholas of Myra guy took a pilgrimage to allegedly Egypt and some other places. And again, the land of Chem was Egypt. The land of alchemy was Egypt, right? So this guy, one of the earliest stories about Saint Nicholas of Myra was that, so I'm going to read this here, in one of the earliest attested and most famous incidents related to this guy, right? You mentioned the child aspect of this whole thing, which is kind of weird, right? And most famous incidents from his life, he is said to have rescued three girls from being forced into prostitution by dropping a sack of gold coins through the window of their house each night for three nights so their father could pay a dowry for each of them. What's interesting about that is alchemy involves what? The creation of gold. So he was dropping gold coins. And not only that, but each night for three nights. Well, we know the three is very indicative, right? The 3 days of resurrection, 3 days in the underworld, like all these threes, he's dropping gold coins. Maybe perhaps he learned to transmute these gold coins and he's rescuing these girls from being forced into prostitute. But I never understood that story because it says that, and it's like, wait, did he pay for somebody else to be involved with them, right? Like the father paid somebody. It's like, it's better if it's somebody that you know, type of thing, which is kind of weird. But there's other stories about him,
kind of like the mob, you know, like the mob goes to, like, You know how like the mob will go to a liquor store and be like, hey, man, you know, you need some protection, right? And then be like, no, I don't need no protection. And then they go bash up the whole store and they're like, yeah, look, you need protection, man. Like it could be an angle that way, you know, like, yeah. Hey, I'll be her pimp. I'll take care of her.
And again, I'm not, this is just thinking outside the box for any of those wondering. This is from research that I've done, because remember what we're presented with in the mainstream is going to be tainted. It's going to be what the exoteric. Sometimes you have to read between the lines with this esoteric stuff to be able to really understand what's going on. And so we got St. Nicholas of Myra, traditionally from the 15th of March, 270 to December 6, 343. He's also known as Nicholas of Bari, who was an early Christian bishop of Greek descent from the maritime city of Myra in Asia Minor. Now, it was just during the time of the Roman Empire. Because of the many miracles attributed to his intercession, he is also known as Nicholas the Wonder Worker. So we have this magical adept, right? Saint, old Saint Nick, he can get into people's house. We have all these movies of him like shrinking down the chimney and this whole, the endless bag of tricks where he's like reaching into his bag. It's endless. So we have this really weird, that we don't really think about, because as a grown person, how many times are you thinking about the lure of Satan? When you were a kid, you didn't think about it because you believed he was real. When you're an adult, you're like, all right, well, that's fake. He might just be made up. And when you really start to look, you go, wait a minute. He's the patron saint of sailors, merchants, archers, repentant thieves, children, brewers, pawnbrokers, unmarried people, and students. Okay. So, and then his reputation evolved among the pious and was, as was common for early Christian saints, and his legendary habit of secret gift giving gave rise to the traditional model of Santa Claus. So because of this idea that he was giving a lot of gifts, he was a wonder worker, which is weird. And again, mind you, of when this was, around the time this was, or we have all these secret mystery schools, we have alchemy, we have all these people around that same area. So who knows if they were participating in these initiations into the mysteries. And now use your imagination. They say that a lot of these mysteries involved the use of psychedelics. That's the whole thing about these mystery schools, that we don't know what they were. And that's why they're mysteries, you know, so we don't know what they were teaching these people, but it gets very Gnostic in nature. It gets very hermetic in nature, because this, again, was around the time, first century to third century. All these guys were into hermeticism and Gnosticism and alchemy, which when I'm looking at something, bro, that's the first thing I go to, because I'm the homunculus guy. And let's link that up, right? So we talked about the alchemical aspect. Well, in alchemy, you can create homunculus. So what's to say old Saint Nick here wasn't up in his alchemical cave in the North Pole, right? His interdimensional cave somewhere, cranking out these homunculi and like, hey, they're my little helpers. Let's put them to work. And they're building all these toys. So just when you really look at it in the bigger picture, you go, damn, this is lining up like way too good. And it gets better, bro, because so we have this whole thing here of him saving these girls. He's calming storms. He saved three innocent soldiers from wrongful execution, right? Back again to that three symbolism. He allegedly chopped down a tree possessed by a demon, which is weird. And then, and this is the part that I was saying, in his youth, he is said to have made a pilgrimage to Egypt and Palestine. Okay? And shortly after his return, he became...
It specifically says Palestine?
Egypt and Palestine, bro. So
interesting.
Yeah, interesting. And after he came back, he became the Bishop of Myra. And then he was later cast into prison during the persecution of Diocletian, but was released after the accession of Constantine. Now, what's interesting about this guy, bro, guess where he was in the year 325 out of all the places he could have been, bro, out of all the places he was on
Jerusalem?
In the early list, and for an attendee at the first Council of Nicaea in 325. What happened at the Council of Nicaea? They were deciding the canon of the Bible during the Council of Nicaea. And here's this mythical alchemical guy there, right? So he was there, but he is never mentioned in any writings by people who were at the council. Late unsubstantiated legends claim that he was temporarily defrocked and imprisoned during the council for slapping the heretic Arius. So they're like, all right, well, he kind of maybe might have been there, but no one really said he was there. Oh, he might have been locked up by slapping this dude, right? And another famous legend, he resurrected three children who had been murdered and picked and pickled in brine by a butcher planning to sell them as pork during a famine. Interesting. This dude's resurrecting people, and it's always in threes, right? What a weird. And then you have the
and they use him as, you know, because Christmas is also, you know, Jesus Christ's birthday, right? Like that's supposed to be like in the church we celebrate the resurrection. It's almost like they're making another character to compete with that to push your mind away from either God or maybe not necessarily that, but like obviously they're trying to replace and make their own new narrative of it. And then I was thinking too when you were talking earlier, you were talking about like some of the lure, but think about the wish list, right? He gives us what we want and we think it, we manifest it, right? We're like, well, I want to, like as a kid, like the old, I want a train, a fire truck, like, right? They're manifesting it. I want this PlayStation 5 or whatever it is, and they're focused on it. They write it down. They write a whole letter. When I know that in the whole occultic scene, like writing stuff down is so important, right? Like to like manifest something, you want to write it out and then read it and burn it or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, well, that's that witch stuff, but you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And this gets better because so we have this guy who is magical, is doing all these things, resurrecting people, giving gold to people. Well, he was a saint, right? He was a saint in the church. Now you got to understand that a lot of these people who are part of the church, a lot of saints really, the iconography comes from paganistic gods, from paganism, and the reason when they were trying to convert people and they were trying to Christianize them or whatever, they would take their gods essentially and make them into a saint. Therefore, like, oh, look, now your God is a saint here in our church. So therefore, come. Come because he's part of our pantheon now. And that's why you see a lot of paganistic iconography in all of these old cathedrals. And some of it's even been taken down. And Saint Nick is also what they've referred to as a Christianized Poseidon, because he's a patron saint of the oceans, which is a weird connection. You don't really make the connection of St. Nicholas, of Santa Claus, with the ocean. But here he is calming storms in a
at all.
And here he is calming storms with a weird, right, sort of magical lore. And so they have relics of this guy. They have pieces of his body, bro. They have pieces of his body around the world. And one of the interesting parts of this whole thing was, dude, that every year they have this sort of, I'm trying to look for it here. They have this sort of reunion. And let me see, it's every year on the 6th of December, the Saints' feast day. And check this out, bro. You ever wondered why we leave out cookies and milk for Santa Claus or for Santa Claus or for, let's name him something else. Let's name him like Alchemist. Let's say he's got a, like, we're going to have to come up with a new name for this guy, right? So I always wonder why they give.
Maybe like Santa Schwab.
and Schwab we trust, right? So I always wonder why we give cookies and milk to Santa Claus. As a kid, everyone's excited to leave cookies, to leave this offering to this metaphysical, alchemical, magical, adept who is able to do magic and everything and conjure things up, but yet he likes cookies and milk. Right? He loves it. Almost like a sort of pseudo Eucharist, if you really think about it. Here is the offering I'm leaving you, his cookies and milk. But it gets better, bro, because in his sarcophagus, where they say some of his bones are, there is this white milky substance that collects in his sarcophagus every year that they call the manna of Saint Nick or the myrrh of Saint Nick. And it is collected every year and sold, bro, because allegedly it is magical. It heals people. And you can literally look it up on their website. And you can buy these little vials, essentially, these little things full of old Saint Nick juice, bro. So they're taking the juice. Bro,
oh man,
they're taking old Saint Nick's juice. All right, the juices that have been marinating for at least, it's been a long time. All right, from the year three, or wait, he died from 343. This dude's been marinating, dog. They've been milking this guy for the old Saint Nick juice, right? That old Saint Nick drank. And people use it to essentially, bro, to heal themselves. And when I'm thinking of that, dude, I'm thinking about it, right? I'm thinking about it. I go, what does that sound like? How you excrete a juice that heals people. That's the elixir of life, bro. That's all chemical right there. That's the elixir of immortality. Okay? That's alchemy. The fact that it's attributed to him, but the manna of Saint Nick, I mean, would you take a shot of it, bro? If right, this juice that is in his sarcophagus now.
So what is it like Austin Powers' mojo, like that, like, you know what I mean? That weird gooey liquid, but except it's white.
So let me.
And then when you said about the cookies and milk, that's like the Eucharist, right? Like bread and wine.
Yeah, that's what I related to, bro. Saint Nick, man. Let's look it up here to see how much you can get. So if you go to the saintnicholascenter.org, you can see a picture of this manna. And let me see how much they sell for. Maybe it's $33. Let's share my screen here so people can see. It might be
33, man. That's it, man.
$33. So here it is, dude. Here's this little vial. Where it's got a picture of old Saint Nick here, and his juice is going to be in there. So devotion and use of the manna of Saint Nicholas. Yikes. So it is the so-called manna that the Greeks call Myron and the Russians call Myro. A father of the Dominican community pours his manna into a large container of blessed water, making a large quantity. Oh, so they dilute it. Okay. So you don't get the full potential of the Saint Nick juice. All right. You get the diluted version. To fill small bottles in order to satisfy the requests of sick people and pilgrims. Sometimes the rector gives extremely small bottles of pure manna as relics, but only after official requests of the Orthodox or Catholic hierarchy. Yikes. All right. So only the elites get the good stuff. All right. Only the official requests of the Catholic hierarchy will get the good stuff.
But I got an idea. I know Christmas is now, and it's too late to get a Christmas present for her, but Valentine's Day is coming up. I'm just saying, if you're looking for that gift.
I got another juice for her, bro. It's not coming from Saint Nick, though. I'm going to tell you that much right now, bro. All right?
The one-on-one
juice.
She's going
to get some juice, but it's not going to be from old Saint Nick. And again, who thinks of this, bro? Who thinks of... Old Saint, they were like, yo, let's milk this guy literally for all we can. All right, let's start. It's like, yo, what do you want to do? I don't know, man. You want to go look in his tomb to see what we can do, right? The Vatican has his hip bone. These other people over here have his thigh bone. These other people over here have his femur and his wrist. We need something, bro. Let's get that juice. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wait, what? Yeah, and he just pours in it, just gets a nice little scoop of the juice from the from his sarcophagus. I'm trying to find here how much it is. All right, let's see here. I'm trying to get some of this.
Hey, they wouldn't even let you, man. Like, I see the PayPal, but that's about it.
St. Nicholas. So, anyways, I'm not making this up. This is real. This is history, guys. This is Atlas Obscura, do relics. Man, come on. Let me see if I can get a picture of this juice, bro. Oh, man.
They only get the bottle, bro, man.
Look at that.
There you go. It looks like adrenochrome.
Let's give a toast to our old boy here. Look at that. So good. Yo, it's that meme where the dude's cooking. He's like, it's delicious. You know what I'm talking about? It's delicious.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because one of my homies that passed away, but he used to sell weed and stuff, and he would go, I got new flavors. Like, he used to do all the time.
Yo, one time I asked for a variety, bro, and my dealer was like, bro, I got weed. That's it. Don't be asking me about no strains. It's like, we got weed. That's it. All right, bro. So
that's it. There's no name. It's just called W-E-E-D.
Yeah, it's that strain. It's the W-E-E-D strain. All right, bro. I can't find the shopping for this Saint Nick juice. I'm going to get my hands on some, though, and we'll take some shots on air. We'll take some shots live, bro.
Yes. We got to get that t-shirt made, the Saint Nick juice.
The Santa Mana, bro. I like that. Like the Santa Mana. There you go.
I like that.
That's
too.
That's that good stuff.
Oh, we got to get that Got Milk commercial, you know, with the little mustache. Be like, got Nick juice? Like, that's going to kill it there.
But this is how far some people will go,
it looked like
dude.
Adrenochrome, though, man.
Listen, we know that the people in the church are using this, okay? And it's supposedly, it smells sweet. It's a sweet-smelling liquid. Now, what does it do? I don't know. It says that it heals people, and that's very elixir of life-ish. And there's been an explanation. I'll give the full disclosure. There's been an explanation as to why this juice excretes. Just name this episode Saint Nick's Juice, right? The Saint Nick Juice. Because supposedly, allegedly, there is a capillary or a vein of salt water that is leaking into the tomb. And that's why you get the collection. Again, that's what they say. They try to debunk it, but you got people who travel here, dude, and this is how far some people's beliefs will take them, where they will drink the juice, bro, of whatever is coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's people who actually believe this sort of stuff. But this is what I love about history, yeah, where these ideas originate somewhere. These ideas came from somewhere. And we see this evolution of this allegedly real person. I mean, we don't know exactly when he was born, and let's say that he was a real person, and let's say that maybe the stories surrounding him have been over embellished, right? Because essentially that's what culture is. That's what reality itself is. You're taking things evolve from the past to the present. So we have this real person who could have been, you know, just a regular guy. Maybe he was a good person, gift giving, but then he was giving these more supernatural, like, oh, he saved three boys. He resurrected this one. He resurrected that one, whatever. And then here are these legends. And from that collective, we have Santa Claus, which is the wildest thing to know that. And essentially what I was talking about earlier, that's the occulted scaffolding. That is what's propping up. That's what came before. The idea of Santa Claus was this Saint Nicholas guy, right? And it's interesting because you mentioned earlier about the writing and people focusing their intent. Kids love Christmas. My kid loves Christmas. He's 5 years old. He believes Santa Claus is. And again, some people are going to be like, oh, this is MK Ultra for kids. You're abusing. It's like, no, dude, whatever. Forget all that. Like, I don't care about that. Like, let a kid be a freaking kid, right? When he finds out, he's going to find out, and it's, I'm all right, bro. I'm okay. I think I'm okay.
Yeah. Nah, it would be fine, man, too, because the thing is that later on, then they actually appreciate you more because they're like, oh, man, you got me all that stuff. And then you were, like, able to, like, not even say it was you, so you were able to get me something and you didn't have to take the credit. So I think they see that later if you raise them right. And my nephew's like, man, my brother just called me earlier today because, I like, my nephew's 4 and my other one's 2, and he was acting up, and he's like, I'm calling Santa, and then I had to do the little voice. It's not something I think either is that MKUltra. If you're spending time with your kids, that's one thing I think, too, is, like, movies, all that stuff. Really what it is the connection you have with your kids, but people be like, oh, you shouldn't tell them. Then you don't tell them, bro. And then they'll be at school with no fucking presents by themselves, looking like a fucking Jehovah's Witness. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, again, I just passed the tradition on. You just let, you know, the kids have fun. But again, this whole idea of them using this as a sort of manifestation tool, teaching them to use their imaginations, I think is important for kids to use their imagination. I think the imagination is an important aspect of reality itself. And I don't know if you saw this article that I saw this week where prisons are banning occult literature. A lot, they're banning Dungeons and Dragons, which is heavy on the imaginal aspect, right? The theater of the mind type of thing. They're banning occult literature. They're banning magical literature, like any esoteric or magic literature. They're banning it from these prisons, almost as some sort of, like, do these people believe that these people can manifest a way of getting out by using these texts, right? Alchemy and all these different other texts. Like, why would you ban that? Like, that's just an interesting thing to think about, where maybe perhaps the mind.
The reason why they would ban it is because they believe it, right? And you have the one aspect that we don't have on the outside. Nothing but time. So you have the ability to have 23 to 24 hours a day where you can focus your energy in a way that we can't anymore because there's so much distraction. So they have to believe it. And I think they've probably seen stuff, and that's maybe how things have happened, and they've seen crazy things, because in those moments, people in jail are some of the most, like, innovative people. I've always said that, like, that proves to me, like, you could get anything. You see them making tattoo guns, making picture frames,
making
out of
manna,
trash, out of garbage.
Saint Nick juice.
So if they can do that, they're mad. Yeah, they're making Saint Nick. That Fifi, man. They got that Fifi going around getting that Saint Nick juice everywhere. But that makes sense now, man. I did not hear about that, but they definitely believe it. Like, and what I tell people is, like, manifestation is real. Like, the whole occultic thing, like, of what, you know, is it one occultic thing? I don't believe that. I believe there's different factions of everything, right? Someone took a story of this. Now, they wanted to make their own church. Then they, you know, rebranded into Jesuits, or rebranded into the Roman Catholic Church, rebranded into whatever faith you want to put in there. And they pushed some, a lot of occultic ideas through the religion, like, kind of soak it down. And you don't see it, like you're saying, they change the characters' names because now the character is Santa Claus. And it doesn't have to be just religion, but they get these different factions and split it up. But manifestation, like you said, imagination, all those things are important tools that we need. Creativity is huge. And I think that's why there's so much push to kill creativity nowadays and critical thinking, because they go hand in hand. If we can't practice our imagination or creating from our mind, then we're stuck to whatever power structure wants us to, you know, this is how you need to live life. Manifestation needs to stop being looked at as, like, a taboo, right? Like, it's always like, oh man, you're into that, like, that new weird age stuff, like that hippy dippy. And it's like, no man, I'm into, like, yeah, the new age. I'm here to just build off of what we got, and I think that we need to.
Yeah, and the imagination is an important aspect, because, right, I think it gives birth, no pun intended, to a lot of things. And you're absolutely right. I do believe that they are trying to kill this whole imagination aspect of it. But it kind of does teach kids to write things down. And an important aspect to the imaginal reality, whatever that is anymore. And what you mentioned earlier about, right, these kids writing these things down. Well, if the concept of taking a fictional thing and intermingling it with a real thing, right? So we have the real being, the Saint Nick, if he was a real guy, like the Saint Nicholas guy, taking that and mixing it with this Santa Claus thing. So you have a real thing in reality, and you have a thing based off of the collective imagination of millions of people. That's a powerful effect. And I think that's why it's so big, because of that. And there's something to be said about literature and my research of literature and language. And it doesn't even have to be a cult, but in my research, writing things down is very powerful. That's why we have what I call interdimensional literature, which is these books that resonate throughout all of reality. There is a certain thing about it, bro. There's a certain string of words. There is a certain string, a certain combination of words that if Sean were to read it, would destroy Sean. It would, and who knows, it might fizzle you out of existence, but it would have such an effect on you that it would at least break you in some sort of way if you were to read a certain string. And that goes for everyone. That goes for me. That goes for anyone listening. There's a certain string of words that would quite literally dissolve you out of reality. So take the and any right movies that are at the beginning go based on true events always hit different, because like, oh damn, because you're wondering the entire movie, wait a minute, this is so crazy, which is the real part? Well, the real part's whichever one you want to believe to be real. So if you want to believe the whole thing, then the whole thing is real. And I think that's what draws people into a lot of these things. And that's what draws me into history. That's what draws me into alchemy. That's what draws me into a lot of these things that we talk about. Cryptids being one of them. All these conspiracies. Because there's that aspect of like, yo, that's crazy. That's wild. How could that be possible? Was this dude really healing people? Was this dude really resurrecting people? It's like there's always that one possibility. And today I was listening to this podcast about this lady. That she, this is really interesting, because a lot of these saints, bro, of early church, and I'm trying to think of which one I talked about recently that was in Jacques Vallée's book. Anyways, I've talked about it on my Patreon. People don't know what I'm talking about. They go listen to the Jacques Vallée episode that I've done, where he talks about this bishop, I believe it was. Anyways, back then, a lot of these saints of these churches were having supernatural experiences. They were having a lot of UFO encounters. They were having a lot of things that back then, if you think about it, right, I know space is fake and gay for some people, but let's just suspend disbelief for 1 second. Let's say it's not fake and gay, and let's say that the government's not behind the whole UFO psyop and all that for 1 second. Let's say that these people were actually having UFO experiences. The interesting part about that was that these experiences were being written down, let's say in Latin or in some other language. And guess who was responsible for record keeping of these instances, of these people who were having UFO experiences? And they were like, oh, but I did see the face of Jesus Christ in the fire when it was coming down, and I saw him on a cross, and I saw, you know, Mary, the Virgin Mary in the fire and all this stuff. Well, the church was in charge of translating and record keeping a lot of these encounters. Well, this lady, I forgot her name. I have to look her up. I'll look her up here in a second, actually. Let me look her up now so people can go check out what I'm talking about. So this lady was taking the original accounts, untranslated, and she was going ahead and translating it, and was noticing that the church was omitting or embellishing certain details. So instead of it being, you know, Jesus was on the cross, it's like, no, it was a ball of fire and he saw XYZ, and those holes in his hands that he got from the UFO was actually radiation burns. You know what I mean? So it's like, wait a minute, what is going on here? There's some stuff that's being occulted from the mainstream in order to fit in a certain narrative, which would be the church, right? Or, you know, we're not being informed fully. And the lady's name is Diana Pasulka. And she wrote a book. Diana, let me look up the... I was listening to a podcast about... I like to listen to like cryptid and all that stuff, a different podcast. And the name of the
book. Well, it's still in the same realm, though. You know what I mean? The cryptids are even the same realm of the cult. Like, I think that you know how you always say, does art imitate life or does life imitate art, right? And then you know how you have this movie, Leave the World Behind, the one that I haven't seen it yet. Everybody's been telling me to see it. But I saw someone have a good little brief about it, like while I was watching everybody, panic and talk a lot about like, oh, man, it's crazy, man. Look what Obama and them are doing, blah, blah, blah. He said, hey, man, remember that this is not what is going to happen. This is what could happen, right? Now, if you're believing into it so much and you're like, there's nothing we could do, this is how the world's going to be, like, you're manifesting it. And I think that is why they use a lot of this music and podcasts and entertainment to, like, mold our brains.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And that's part of, again, this collective that Carl Jung called it, the collective conscious, collective unconscious, whatever you want to refer to it as. But the fact, the idea that consciousness or whatever mind is can affect reality. And this is interesting because today I was translating some works for a friend, and it was Gerard Dorn, which is this alchemist who he preserved a lot of Paracelsus's work, and Paracelsus, right, being the daddy, the homunculus. It was talking about immortality. And the interesting part of it was that he was talking about immortality. So this is a book from, I think it was 1650 something. And he's talking about immortality. Now, it's coming from an alchemical sense, but it was weird because the reason I know my translation is good is because I had, when you read Paracelsus, you need an entire dictionary to read Paracelsus because he makes up a lot of words. And there's a lot of concepts that Paracelsus coined himself. He coined the whole sylphs and elementals aspect of the word gnome. Let me double check. Let me make sure I'm not spreading fake news, but the word gnome, I did a whole presentation on this. So gnome was actually coined. So medieval Latin gnomus used 16th century in a treaty by Paracelsus, who gave the name Pygmae Gnomi to elemental earth beings. So he actually coined the word gnomes, right? So this dwarf like Paracelsus. He also coined the term sylphs, which is air elementals. So we have here 16th century, coined by Paracelsus, air spirit, originally referring to any race of spirits inhabiting the air. So he coined a lot of words into existence. No pun intended. He birthed a lot of words into existence. And so I'm looking up some of the words that are coming up in this translation that's from Latin to English. And as I'm looking it up, I'm having stuff pinging off of Carl Jung, because Gerard Dorn is one of the most cited alchemists of Carl Jung. And what I'm translating, Carl Jung was writing about. So some of the stuff that I was translating to use for my work, Carl Jung had already translated it. Right? He obviously had to look for it. And he was writing about the stuff within the writing. So I was able to get some context as to what was being said, because I was reading, I was like, what in the world? But essentially, he was talking about how if you're able to overcome your mental faculties in some sort of way from exterior sources and use your imagination what those exterior sources can be. I mean, demonic or metaphysical or whatever, and right, these things that are always bombarding us. If you're able to somehow be able to separate yourself from that, you will be able to achieve the true immortality. You will be able to leave your body behind. Again, some very cryptic alchemical sort of thing. But it was interesting that I was able to find some explanation from Carl Jung himself in his book, The Alchemical Studies, about what I was already translating. I had no idea that he had translated that. I did know that he was very big into Dorn. But that's how I knew my stuff was good, because it popped up already. Like, you could literally look it up and read it for yourself. So a lot of the words that he was breaking down, I was able to.
One thing I like about, like,
go ahead.
Like what you do, and like, I mean, there's other people just besides you, but the thing that I like, again, we've talked earlier, we talked off air, you know, we've talked a lot of times, you know, there's people that stick to a story, right? Like, hey, I saw this encounter and it has to be the same exact, they leave no new ideas can enter that story, right? It has to be like, it has to be an alien or it has to be a demon or whatever it may be.
Or a homunculus.
And we're more open to it. But the thing is, like, because a lot of people say, or a homunculus, you never know. It could be a homunk. You know what I mean? You never know. But what you see is in a lot of these other people from the outside, they look at something at, you know, someone wild like a David Icke or someone like that that says a certain narrative and will not change their mind. They label all of us that way. And they're the thing that I find stupid to a lot of people and that they're not really searching and trying to find truth on the opposite side when they call people conspiracy theorists. I'm like, well, Juan just laid it out to you. This is... He didn't make this up out of his mind. He's showing you text. He's deciphering something that was written years ago, right? Like years and years ago. And then other people translated. And you're at the same time not saying like, hey, take it for what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can tell you what I think it means, but I don't know. I can't get inside their mind. And I think that's a big problem we're having right now of bridging this gap. Like, why one side, they know, like, oh yeah, the government's corrupt, but these crazy people think about aliens, or they think that there could possibly be a flat earth, or that there is a possibility of anything. But when somebody is just speculating and somebody's actually showing you hard evidence, I think that's when I start getting upset with people. And me and Chaz of the Dead, he was on an episode recently and we were talking about, because he ghost hunt, and you know, he's like, yeah, you know, anybody that doesn't believe in ghosts will never see a ghost. Anybody that doesn't believe in aliens has never seen an alien. So are we manifesting these things? Are we creating them in their mind? Or are they there and that we open up a thing in our mind that makes us see it? These are the things that we need to discuss. And I think that that's important to point out, because I've talked to a lot of different people and some on the other side that think everything's a conspiracy, or, oh, you guys got it. Oh, the hidden history. And I'm like, but it's there. Well, why did they write it down? Why did they save Nick's juice?
Well, that's the thing I was going to say. There's people out here drinking the juice of Saint Nick because they believe. Right. So think about it. They believe that it's going to heal them. Therefore, it heals them. That's the placebo effect, bro. That's the mind at work. So this whole thing that we've been talking about is the mind is much more powerful. And again, I don't have it figured out, bro. It's like you said, I am here. I'm reading stuff. I'm reading stuff and I'm processing it. And then I make a presentation and I show people, hey, this is what I read. This is what I think about it. Now, what do you think? Like, do you think it's real? Like, whatever, right? And for those that want to talk about it, I did set up a phone line, but I'm going to plug it here real quick so you can call me and leave me a voicemail. It's 407-476-4606. It's 407-476-4606. If you want to call me and tell me nice things or not, whatever, you can call me.
Get your homunculus now.
But yeah, dude, I mean, that's the whole aspect of all of these things that we're going to be able to, like my son asked me the other day, this is how kids think, right? That they're always looking at things from a different perspective. And he asked me, because usually, right, the father figure, you're always fixing stuff for them. You're always, you kind of sort of know everything. Like when they have a question, you're able to answer it as best as you can. And he asked me, he goes, Daddy, do you know everything? And I looked at him and I go, no, I don't know everything. I told him, I said, there's no way you could know everything. He goes, well, why not? And I thought to myself, I go, can you imagine knowing everything in the entire world, bro? Can you imagine what would that be like to understand and grasp all cosmologies, all ideas, everything ever? That'd be wild. I mean, that's God essentially, right?
That'd be tiring. Like
the ultimate level of existence, where then what? Yeah. You're able to see behind reality and able to manipulate it in some sort of way. Like, what happens then? It's like those movies where I'm sure there's a lot of these movies where they get too smart and they start to gain powers, like that movie with the blue pills where the guy would get smarter. I forgot, what was the name of that movie?
Limitless.
Was it Imminent, right? It was Imminent, wasn't it? Imminent. Oh, Limitless.
No, Limitless.
Yeah, that's the one. where he would take the blue pill and then they were able to synthesize it later on, and he was able to like tell the future some crazy thing. It's a wild movie, bro.
Oh, maybe you're thinking of a different one. Limitless is the one I'm thinking of, where he gets you know, he's like super good at business now, and like he's like changed his whole life, and then like he starts the drugs weaning off. He doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah, this one. Limitless.
Yep.
That's the one.
That's a classic, and it's really true to an extent, because again, these things are being in production. Whether they work the way that we're told they work, just like AI. A lot of people are scared of AI all the time. I look at it as a tool, man. It's a tool that I can use. When I heard everybody on AI like, hey, man, you need to stop. They need to put regulations. They need to stop it. Why? Because they don't want us to have it. Because we're getting good at it. And that is the whole point, is they want regulations so people like me and you can't use it, because then we're going to use it for different reasons. They're going to be able to use it where they go, hey, AI knows everything. And then you have that fake, false God narrative of, hey, this being or this structure of, like, because it's a computer, it's not really a being, but people will believe it's alive if you think it's alive. It's not that it's all-knowing. It just has a bunch of information that people have put into it. But it makes people believe, like, oh, my God, did you see that it wrote me a whole screenplay about blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but you initiated it. It didn't create it itself. But I fear if AI takes over, it will be because human nature, same thing that with, like, Santa, it's something that's passed along that, like, hey, man, this is all knowing, man. So you got to, like, listen to it.
Yeah, and I want to actually talk about, we have this metaphysical alchemical guy, Saint Nick, who is connected to Christmas, and he lives where, in the North Pole? Well, the North Pole, I wanted to pull up some of the pictures here of the Space Force logos, bro. So talking about, right, hidden in plain sight sort of thing, I wanted to flip through some of these logos of the Space Force, because how I mentioned at the beginning, there's that new movie that came out, Obey NASA. Everyone's freaking out about the whole predictive programming and all that stuff. And so I wanted to show you some of these logos of Space Force that are, in my opinion, very occultic. And there's something to be said about the North, something very enigmatic. You have the UN flag where their logo is looking up from the top down. And people say, oh, that's evidence of flat Earth. That's evidence that they know. And from what I've learned is, If there's any mystery to anything, if there's any mystery to, right, the mysteries, in my opinion, from doing my research, it's got to do with the aspect of light. And that's why you have groups like the Illuminati, the Rosicrucians, and all these different groups that light plays a big role. So we have an eye here. I'm speaking of light. We have the North Pole here. Again, very, very occultic. Got the lightning bolts. You have this weird thing with a dragon, an eagle, a shark. And again, it's pointing up. And what's interesting about that is it's
nine stars.
Yeah, nine stars. So it's Ursa Major. And I believe that's the Little Dipper somewhere. Anyways, you see the Dipper here. But they're pointing at that. And what's interesting, here's the freaking Hydra. We have Godzilla coming out here. I'm trying to see minus one, but I can't find it online. But we have this. This is one of my favorites. We have the Pharaoh looking up, pointing up. Now, what's interesting about that is that I've always wondered, bro, if the directions, if the cardinal directions are actually the directions that we've been taught, that we've been shown. Because if you look at a Masonic tracing board, the directions are different. And the directions are, so the one that I always use is this one. East is up. East is pointing right here. You have Jacob's ladder. East is up. This is east. And north is over here. West is down. South is that way. So even these secret organizations, these occultic groups, they use something else. And again, I'm not a Mason, so I don't know what this means. It can mean something completely different, and I'm interpreting it wrong because, again, I'm not initiated, nor do I care to be initiated. But I find it interesting that a lot of these groups invert the directions. Now, why would that be? Because, again, they're pointing somewhere. And so we talked about the Rupus Nigra at the North Pole, this magnetic black rock that was Gerardus Mercator, which was one of the greatest cartographers, was writing to John Dee about, bro. And he wrote to John Dee about this black rock at the North Pole that was magnetic in nature. He talked to how it was smooth and how there was a race of pygmies on the... So right here we have the word pygmy, habitant. So we have habitated by pygmies. This is Latin. But we have this whole lore. He wrote a whole letter to John Dee about this black rock with these little pygmies and little creatures at the North Pole. And what's interesting about that is that Carl Jung wrote about how there is a hidden god, bro, that lives in the North Pole, right? That comes out with the use of magnetism, which was really interesting to me because magnetism is one of those things where it's like unseen forces sort of thing. And I've read the craziest books, bro. And there's this one book in particular that really changed, right? So there's always, right? So you have here this pointing to the north, and they always have the key. They have the key. Well, where the hell do they have, what's the key for? What are you unlocking? You know what I'm saying? Like, they talk about how the north, there's a gate there, you know, and God manifests himself as this gate. Well, do they have the key? Do they know what the key is? Right? Because at the core of all these mysteries, it's all about light, in my opinion. It's about the manipulation of light from everything that I've learned, bro. And again, I don't have it all figured out, but there's something about the manipulation of light. Here's the eye with the wings, right? Poured an opening here. Just very weird. And dude, honestly, when I first encountered this, I thought a lot of these logos, I thought they were memes, bro. I thought they were fake. I did not think that they were real.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what in the, first of all, Space Force for what? Hey, what do we have a Space Force for? Okay, maybe more money laundering. But like, what are they hiding? What are they trying to protect us from? Anyways, but look at this weird symbolism. And again, it's very sexual in nature as well. It's very phallic-y. You have the idea of, right, I believe that the launching of rockets is a sort of occultic ritual. And the reason I think of that, I think it's, right, if you look at Elon Musk with the Artemis, and if you know who Artemis is, and the whole, right, they're shooting dicks into space, right? So they're penetrating the firmament or whatever it is they're trying to, and it's very sexual. It's a show. Dicks. Yeah, they're space dicks, right? It's a whole show. It's a ritual that everyone focuses in on, and they pull everyone in, right? So we have this hidden god that is activated through magnetism, that it lives in the North Pole. Now, what's interesting about that is that there's just one particular book, which is about, it's a story, a fictional story about René Descartes projecting his consciousness into outer space. And from all my studies into the occult, outer space is another, I believe it's another realm that you're able to access. And I believe that there are entities that live in this realm that occultists are able to interact with. Now, again, that's a whole other thing, but I think that's why space is a thing. And in this book where it's talking about René Descartes figuring out one of the greatest discoveries of all time, which René Descartes died very briefly. And the mainstream story is that he was giving private lessons to Christina of Sweden, this woman who was very smart, was very into the occult, was very into alchemy, and she wanted to be taught by René Descartes. She was rich, so let's get the greatest philosopher of all time, one of the goats, especially for that time. He was a rock star, and I want private lessons with him. I want him to live on my property. And every day at 5 a.m, I want him to show up and give me lessons. Well, there's one problem with that. René Descartes loved to sleep, right? If you read all his biographies and everything. And he hated waking up early, right? And essentially, by him having to adjust his schedule to waking up early every day, he got contracted pneumonia and he was overbled. They tried to bleed it out of him. He was overbled and he passed away. That's the mainstream story. Well, in this story, essentially when Descartes would project his consciousness outward, a little watcher would enter his body. This little black homunculus would enter his body and watch over it and do all the basic essentials for him, taking care of his body while he was out in the astral realm doing, going into other worlds and learning from other philosophers that were able to achieve immortality and able to project their consciousness outwards. And this book is going on and on, bro. This book is from 1690 or 1590, one of those crazy dates. And he's going on and on. He's revealing all these secrets and all these crazy things, which I think that we stumbled across a grimoire. And we have the only video on it on YouTube. It's called A Voyage to the World of Cartesius. And reading about all this stuff, and the dude's talking a whole bunch of stuff. Craziness, how to create galaxies and other dimensions and other worlds and physics and all that stuff. And there's one line, bro, that stands out to me in the whole book. All these pages as I'm reading this. I'm already having my mind blown. But he goes and he says in this book, he goes, there is one thing out of all the things I've revealed to you. And again, I'm paraphrasing. There is one thing I can't reveal to you, the secrets of that I can't reveal to you that would quite literally drive you insane. And that's the secrets of magnetism. And when I read that, I go, what in the world? You're telling me all this craziness about making this snuff out of these Chinese psychedelic herbs that project your consciousness outwards, and René Descartes was actually outside of his body and his little homunculus didn't let him back in. That's why he was bled to death, because he couldn't come back in because he wasn't conscious. All this stuff, and how he creates worlds, and how all these great philosophers are still alive, and this crazy Chinese alchemist riding on a dragon through space. But yet the craziest thing you can't tell me about is magnetism and how, right, all compasses point where? They point to the north. We got Jung talking about one of the guys who understands consciousness and the reality of it, right? If you want to believe him, because he, in my opinion, he went insane.
Yeah.
Talking about this hidden God that's able to be activated. Well, it makes you think of, where is one of the largest arrays of magnets in the world? Just take a wild guess, bro. I mean, this is the pinnacle of conspiracy. And mind you, the
North and South Pole?
The at CERN, bro, has one of the largest arrays of magnets in the entire world.
Oh, yeah.
And that's and not only that, but the magnet I've read in grimoires, it is the stone of choice for magicians, bro. The magnet is the stone of choice for magicians. So, with all that said, bro, I still don't understand anything that I've talked about. Because it's that crazy. But it's my gut feeling.
But you said magnets, right? And you said the compass, and you were showing the Space Force. And before you even said it, I was looking at it and I was like, well, that's obviously an arrow. It looks like a cursor that you see on the computer. It looks like the arrow that you see in a compass. And when you're talking about that's why, like, you know how they say we have the magnetic polar forces in like North and South Pole, that like that's how we stay out of access. So that's a crazy, like, because all those patches you've seen, that's what's weird, is that those are all their patches, yeah. And someone designed that. Like, someone went through the time to be like, yeah, we need the Big Dipper here, and we need the North Star here. So it's pointing at something. Yeah. Oh, can you get two dicks on there? What is it? This definitely is Game of Thrones.
Yeah, bro. 100%. I mean, if you think of the Christmas tree and what that says, again, it's very phallic. Very significant, right? You have the North Star, right, at the tip of the Golden Dawn. Right, the whole tip of the spear type of thing. And it's just very interesting to think about. And that's why I tell people, I do the research. I try and connect dots myself to see where I'm at. But there's plenty to still be deciphered, bro. And that's the problem with it. Not only this, but if you think about it, sometimes they put this stuff out there and they might be trolling, right? They could be trolling 100%. And a lot of alchemists on purpose, and a lot of occultists will plant stuff to throw you. They'll give you information that you perceive as beneficial, and like you think you figured it out. But there was something behind that was trying to be kept secret. And you know what I'm saying? So there's going to be stuff that's put in place to deter you and to make it seem like you're gaining and understanding the mysteries. But again, who is thinking about who old Saint Nick was and thinking about where the origins of Santa Claus came from? Not a lot of people are into this sort of stuff, bro. So they're going to continue to pass these traditions on. They're going to continue to, which is fine too. You know what I mean? Sometimes I just want to chill. Sometimes I just want to watch a movie without having to decipher the secret Illuminati symbolism that's being fed to me subconsciously. Like even my wife was like,
you can,
we were watching the movie together, the Leave the World Behind. And right at the beginning, executive producers, Michelle and Barack Obama. And then the movie got super weird. I was just chilling, bro. I was like, yeah, they're programming some stuff in there. My wife, she was reacting more than I was. She's like, wait, why would they make such a weird movie? I was like, oh, I'm just trying to watch this movie. I'm not trying to decipher it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to watch. She's like, well, why would it be that? What do you think is going on? I'm like, I guess we got to watch something else to figure out what they were talking about. I mean, go read their description of the thing that they were referring to see if there's something else there. Like, you know, I'm just trying to chill. And she's trying to do like this whole deciphering occult. And I'm just like, it gets so tiring sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to just chill. I tell people that all the time. Well, see, what I do is because people even talk about like, oh, how can you be into this conspiratorial world? You watch sports, you watch movies, you listen to music, look at all this. And I'm like, bro, you're on rookie level, bro. You're on rookie. Like, once you kind of like, you know that there's these things, you're aware of it. And it's the same thing, trap that people get into when like, say they go, oh, I believe in occultism, but they have a certain part that they're like, this is absolutely true. Everything's Aleister Crowley. I'm not saying that he didn't play a big part, but if you only focus on one part and you don't have the mindset of being able to decipher more and critically thinking, like you said, of course they're going to put stuff out there for you to believe that there's partial truths in it. That's up to you to decipher. These guys were super intelligent, man. Like most of the people that are really into the occult, they love like puzzles and it seems like riddles. They want you to decipher it because it took them a long time to create it. So they want you to have even longer to figure out what they've said. It's a game to them. You know what I mean? Even though if they're not around or they are around spiritually. But I'm with you. Like a lot of people too. Like I'll be watching movies and they're like, "Oh," and I'm like, "Man, yeah, man, you gum scrub, man." You know, what
yep,
you do,
yep,
man?
Yep. They're doing something. Like, huh? So, yeah, dude, I think that I'm not any closer to figuring anything out. You know, I've read a whole bunch of stuff and I've deciphered. I think I've deciphered some stuff, but who's there to confirm it, bro? You know what I mean? Like,
but at the end of the day, it's being aware of it. Like, right, hey, man, there's crazy stuff that could be out there. Like we've said a lot of times, maybe it's not true. Maybe none of this 100%. Is real, but there's people that believe it's real. And if enough people believe that it's real, it will come true. And that's why I really live by the thing of like, man, I love my family. I enjoy my life. I do whatever I want and I'm going to be happy because I feel the only way you can fight back, the true way of fighting back, not just, oh, hey, here's the truth. This is stuff we like to do, stuff we like to talk about, it's interesting to us. But the real way to fight back is live a happy life. If you make your existence and manifest something that's great, they cannot destroy it because energy can't be destroyed. So you have to create that positive energy. Now, it's difficult in some of the times or when you get soaked around too many people that are like, oh, man, the world sucks or this. You got to push away from that. And it doesn't mean that they're bad people. Just sometimes you got to get away from it because they're too sucked in until they can get unsucked. Because that's, if you notice, the world's getting worse when they get enough people to believe that the world sucks.
Yeah, that's why you got to keep sipping on that Saint Nick juice, bro. You got enough people sipping on that Saint Nick juice, and it'll all get better in time, dude. That's why we gotta get that shirt made. Whole Saint Nick's juice, right?
That Saint Nick's lean, you know what I'm saying? Lean with it, rock with it. But this was a fire episode, man. Killed it as usual. Before we get out of here, can you let everybody know again where they can find you, all your links, which will be below?
Yeah, dude, thanks for having me on. This was fun. These are things that you can hear about on my show and some. It's going to be from a different perspective. I talk about alchemy, the occult, magic, all that stuff. Sometimes I get into the paranormal and cryptids. You can find me at tjojp.com, has all my links, at the Juan on One podcast on pretty much all social media platforms. I'm on YouTube and anywhere you can listen to podcasts, I'm there. Check me out. Sean, we got to do an episode on my show soon. Thanks for having me on, bro. This is fun.
Always, man. And you know where you can find me, killthemockingbirds.com, or go to any podcast platform, Kill the Mockingbirds. Leave a 5-star review. Everybody has to feel like this right now. I don't want to go to work. We do it here. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up.
Bye.
What you say?
Explosive like bands, right jab. Suicide bomber in a cab. Cooking up COVID in a Fort Detrick lab. 3D printing ARs, fuck a gun bang. Monsoon of shells, full metal jacket. Gomer pow, gun to head, brains blast. Another dead bastard in a closed cast. Exposed to the state, Hassan Haskins. Fuck your army and navy, nothing could save thee. Murder was the case, they gave me Stephen Avery. APB with the 18. You pity the fool, no wonder why you hate me. Microchips implanted a wrist, a quick flick and assist. Public transportation, Uber or Lyft. QR code denied, Jedi mind tricks. Artistic violence by design. You own nothing, nothing. Be happy. Mass surveillance nowhere to hide. You own nothing, and be happy. Mass surveillance nowhere to hide. You own nothing, and be happy. Mass surveillance nowhere to hide. Look in the mirror with the man say, silence, not a damn thing, another campaign. Hopes and dreams pop a bottle of champagne. Coke train slaying pretty women, cocaine. John Wayne, six shooter, Ukraine. Fireball shots, Luke Kane. Wars forever like Wu-Tang. Lurch, you rang. George W. Bush, rule change. Twin Towers fall, who hangs Hussein? Roll switch, softball, slow pitch. Poor bitch, apartment full of roaches. Who's the father? Paternity test. Live on Maury Povich, fear and loathing. Roller coasting, locomotion, it's so atrocious. Building six exploded. Eviction notice and debt, AK-47 respect.
You own nothing, nothing. Be happy. Mass surveillance nowhere to hide. You own nothing, and be happy. Surveillance nowhere to hide. You own nothing, and be happy. Mass surveillance nowhere to hide. You own nothing, and be happy. Mass surveillance nowhere to hide.
Alphabet agencies manipulate the human population with propaganda. It's time for the working class to unite, get strapped up and locked and loaded. We ain't giving a fuck about Biden, Trump, and all these bitch ass motherfuckers. It's the state against the people, not me versus you. Locked and loaded. Bye.